Forget how good that record was, man.
And listen to how good Ed's voice sounds, too. That's 1992.
I'm totally getting sucked in.
It's vintage. And
so
you know,
good.
Maybe it's not his voice sounds good. It's a very, very clear recording.
It's a young voice. Like he sounds so different.
Yeah, and that's it's very, I don't know, the band sounds different. I don't know if this is the first time they played Bleach. I doubt it. But it's definitely one of the first.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
92,
and this was at the Moore Theater.
The Moore Theater from the Vault Number 1.
Now, there might be people that don't know. What is the Vault series?
The Vault series is a series of select Pearl Jam recordings that aren't available in the bootleg series. So Vault Number 1 was given away on CD to people who bought tickets to Pearl Jam 20, the festival. Vault Number 2... is which we'll play a selection from later, is from the Vic Theater in Chicago from 2007. Was a show, much different show than the 92 show at the Moore. And then Vault Number 3, which was just released on vinyl, is from a show in 98, the Yield Tour from DC.
Oh. Yeah. Well, and this is Evil Little Goats episode 9.
Number 9.
In a series of 10. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we get past 10.
That guy is Travis, and I'm Jeremy. Travis is the brains and the muscle and almost all of the manpower behind GorillaCandy.com.
I'm definitely the looks.
I've
got a face for radio.
You got that going for you. And I'm just some schmuck that he found on the street, and he said, talking to this microphone. We are now just, a week and a half? Am I close?
14 days.
Is it just 14 days away
14
from Lightning Bolt?
14 days. We're
recording.
Well, it's the first. It's a Tuesday. Lightning Bolt comes out the 15th.
But you're very excited.
I'm doing simple math.
Okay. I was told there'd be no math in podcasting. Sorry.
Yeah, we're both communication majors.
Well, that's true. It's the first. I was still thinking it was September. If it was,
and
the
then
30th,
you have to do all that counting.
Yeah,
and
I couldn't.
Fuck that.
If it was September 30th, I still couldn't have done it. It would have been too hard for me.
Lightning Bolt in 2 weeks. But when you're listening to this, it's going to be sooner than 2 weeks.
And we're getting a lot of sneak peeks. In general, we've already seen a couple of music videos. Tons of interviews are being posted. Did you watch much of the Kerry Brownstein?
I listened to all 10 parts.
All 10?
Retain all of it.
Nah, me either.
I mean, because some of it was stupid.
Yeah, who cares about some of that?
But funny. David Bowie drinking...
That was funny.
Doing coke and drinking milk.
The milk was my favorite part, that Stone couldn't say the word milk correctly.
Yeah, and of course, Kerry Brownstein corrects him on it,
right.
which is something that she had to have picked up on from Fred Armisen. Because when I saw Fred Armisen at Bumbershoot maybe 2 years ago, he did this thing where he asked people to shout out cities, and he would do accents from that city. So, and he was going like, no, wait, Minnesota is up here, not here. And he was just doing different voices. And I couldn't tell if he was a linguist because I'd never been to those places, or if he was actually just making shit up.
Totally. But I'm sure he was just making shit
up. But I'm guessing, you know, Carrie had to have picked a little bit of that up off of Fred.
Yeah. And then I was lost on the egg one, because she said egg and then she said egg. They sounded the same.
Yeah. I think she hard G'd the egg.
That might be it.
I think that was a small difference.
Matt Cameron and I were both confused by that one.
Yeah, when she said say EGG, I was like, egg? Like EG, what's an EGG? I was like, what do you want me to say? The letters? Are they talking in like scale?
Right.
EGGFB? Or are they like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I realized, she spelled out egg.
Right.
Why didn't she just say egg?
Right, because she didn't want to taint the way that it was said.
Yeah.
But we're getting off on a tangent. What stood out to you, though, from the interview? Anything aside from the David Bowie?
No Eddie.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Now, I have a theory on why Eddie was not involved in the band interview. I think that...
they kicked him out of the band.
He's done. No, I think what it is they've done enough interviews to know that the band shows up and gets ignored, and Eddie sits there answering all the questions.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think that if they separate them, then Eddie can just... and again, we'll get into all this, how tightly they're controlling what gets out. But... that way, the band isn't going, why are we even here? Everyone wants to talk to Ed.
I want to get into how they're controlling what right now.
Let's do that.
Because this work, because if that was the situation, this is all in-house produced by Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm.
So they could
they could
purposefully cut Ed, not cut Ed out, but you know, they could tailor the answers or the footage to just focus on the band.
Yeah.
I was interested, what really interested me was they did like, two with just Mike. They did like three vignettes with Mike and Jeff, mm-hmm. and then like three with Mike and or with Stone and Matt.
Yeah,
and then they did full band ones.
And maybe they did more. And this is all that we're seeing of you know what was.
Yeah, I wonder
and
what
the
purpose of it is aside from album promotion to the fans. Because if is it going to be broadcast on IFC? Because it's got IFC tags all over it.
That's
and you
a good
have to
point.
Like Portland's Facebook like, page.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was the IFC page, I think, on Facebook.
Yeah,
page,
I like it just because I was like, oh, Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Please. All right.
Click.
Let me give you my credit card and social security and my passwords.
Here's my
too.
Home address, yeah. My children's names.
Yeah. But it's so so how is this going to be used? The one thing that I have thought of was because there's more of this coming. Because this is all kind of excerpted from the Danny Clench directed Lightning Bolt short, the 8-minute mm-hmm. short, where there was really not a lot of Q&A happening. It was more just the band talking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And at on Pearl Jam's website, it says, look for more to come in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
So this is one of many. So there's going to be one with Judd Apatow. There's going to be one with Steve Gleason. There's going to be one with that surfer guy. There'll probably be one with Danny Clench and Eddie Vedder broing down mm-hmm. over axes and sitting in the car and Eddie going, oh, fuck,
remember right,
at the very
right.
end. He's like, oh, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Right, because it was so loud they were going to just like annoy the neighbors or whatever.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I'm sure no noise ever comes out of Eddie's house.
No, none at all. And so it's I wonder if this stuff is going to be the extras, the digital extras that are given to people who pre-order Lightning Bolt. Through 10 Club, because
sure.
they're exclusive 10 Club digital extras.
But the IFC connection, I think you're dead on there. I think that it's something that they've got support from that network.
I mean, are they going to make like a Pearl Jam commercial on IFC?
Maybe.
I mean, NBC did one with Arcade Fire.
Maybe it's a documentary of the album that they're going to run a full hour-long documentary of some sort. Who
interesting.
Knows?
Yeah.
But I am very impressed, I guess, in how much access we are getting to the band, as controlled as it is. I don't remember ever seeing so much of them prior to the release of an album.
And they're being very, I want to say open. They're very, they're
seemingly,
being, they're very,
yeah.
very friendly. You know, they're not.
It seems that way.
They're not, they're ready to talk about the record. They're happy to be doing it, it seems like. And it makes me wonder if, they're happy to be doing it because they know it's the only promo they're going to have to do and then just not deal with it.
Or maybe this is our last go around.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, at the end of the Danny Clench video, Ed says, I can't wait to see what's next.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean more music. That could be
no.
surfing with his kids.
Well, and there was an interesting, I don't know if you saw the Rolling Stone interview that ran online probably last week, I think on Friday.
I don't think so.
Maybe Thursday. No, it was Friday. And Ed said, like, the last question was, you know, how do you see yourself in your 70s, like, playing with Pearl Jam, like the Stones and Paul McCartney?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what I don't remember his answer.
He said something.
He said it. No, it wasn't really that.
It was a clue.
It was more of just like people are asking that question now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Matt Cameron's, I think, 51.
Yeah.
Ed's 48, I believe, or 49. So it's just like they're taking their time. Supposedly, they took their time between records because they didn't have anything to say after. Mm-hmm. They didn't feel like they needed to say anything after Backspacer.
That was something revealing in the interview with Carrie Brownstein today when she asked them something about where do you get your inspiration for this stuff. And it was just weird to hear them like, oh, you know, books and movies and art shows. Like, it's weird to know that they draw from other artistic expression. It's almost like they've... Which is not revealing in the, I guess, the lyrics that we hear so much, because Ed seems to really turn inward in the lyrics. Like, it really seems like whatever internal struggles he's having, whatever battles, whatever demons that he either once had or is still dealing with, he seems to lay it out there pretty well. So it's just weird to hear, you know, Stone or Mike or whatever saying that, like Mike was talking about the graffiti art show that he went to, and he came out of there just alive and wanting to write music. It's weird that they kind of turn to other artists to inspire them.
Yeah, and on that same note, I was just thinking about Matt and how when Soundgarden came back, there was very little press,
mm-hmm.
Like as far as like promotion of Soundgarden. I mean, mm-hmm. they played big tours or big festival shows. They went on tour. They did late night TV. But they didn't do, I guess maybe they did some media, but not.
They were on Letterman. And
yeah, but there wasn't necessarily like with this is like, we're releasing an album, we're promoting it, we're going through the cycle differently for promotion, but we're doing it our way in-house. Whereas with Soundgarden, there was none of that. I don't think that there wasn't anything like this with Soundgarden.
Certainly nothing like this.
It wasn't like, oh, you know, Soundgarden's coming back after 20 years and we're going to do all of this, or after 10 years, seven, whatever the date is. But
yeah,
we're going to do all of this. Let's reintroduce everybody to the band. Let's mm-hmm. let the band all talk. Let's, you know, it was more of just a,
here we are.
Soundgarden.
Here's
another record.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, hey, we're Pearl Jam. We know that we've been missed by our fans. We know that the music world is different now than it was when mm-hmm. we released Backspacer. But we still have stuff to say. Here's how we want to convey our message.
I wonder if they're setting the bar too high, though, because the beautiful thing about Soundgarden is it was almost kind of an accidental mention that they had a new album and had gotten back together. I mean, they played the secret shows under the different, you know, names and all that. But otherwise, the album kind of came out and then it kind of went away. And it was a solid record. I mean,
sure.
there was some great stuff on there. But this one, with the constant barrage of social media stuff and the seemingly weekly release of the vignettes and the short film that you know kind of profiles what's going on with the making of it, the 45 minutes of interview that was released today, I worry that they're setting the bar too high. And I mean, we've heard some of the album. We've gotten some glimpses. We've already heard what Sirens and Mind Your Manners. There's a pretty big hint today on their Instagram account that Olay is going to be on there.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
That wasn't Pearl Jam's. Was that the thing you sent me?
Yeah.
That wasn't Pearl Jam's Instagram account. That was Pearl Jam Online. They are an Italian Pearl Jam fan site, and they're excellent. They are. I don't know what the Italian word is for excellent, but they are excellent, and they. They've been doing these lightning bolt facts with their Instagram and their Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the facts that I found out, actually, there are no Matt Cameron songs on Lightning Bolt.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. But no, that's 'cause Pearl Jam's European and South American following, way different.
Oh,
channels.
Yeah.
Way different channels. And we know that in the UK, they've already released record reviews of Lightning Bolt. It's featured, like, Pearl Jam's on the cover of Rolling Stone Italy.
Sorry, that's my tweet deck blowing up.
Hey.
I'm gonna source you on that. I wanna make sure that I didn't screw it because I gotta
tell you, Olay is not on the track listing.
True, but we've seen a couple of track listings that sent us astray.
Well, they've released the official track list though.
Okay,
they released
it. Okay, so it's not on there.
It's not. No, it's not. Olay is not a part of the record. Yeah. No.
Okay, I feel so much better because I saw that today, like I don't know.
Yeah, I saw the subject was like uh oh or something like that, and I was like, oh wow, and then I thought I was one. Yeah.
Okay, I feel so much better.
Oh, calm down.
There was a tweet, and I guess you're right. It must have been Pearl Jam Online or whatever, and it made it look like Olay was going to be part of this, and I just thought, man, I thought we all agreed that we were going to just pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, no kidding. But back to the buildup.
Sorry.
You were talking about how you think that it might be, they might be setting expectations high, for maybe for themselves, maybe for fans. What I think they're doing is they're actually doing a lot of fan service. They're jumping into the game. They know that their fans are online, and they're on the message boards. They're on Twitter. They're all over social media. So what Pearl Jam's strategy has been to just not engage with the fans necessarily, but release all of these small bits of content to let fans know that, hey, we're coming back, we mean it, and this is what we're giving you.
Do you think they're trying to reach a new audience with what you've heard so far, or are they making you and me happy?
No, they're making the fans happy. Mm-hmm. I originally, we've talked about this before.
I meant you and me, literally.
Yeah, like, no,
this,
totally.
This album is just for us.
Yeah.
The rest of you can buy it, sure, but they wrote it for us.
Yeah, we're getting royalties.
Yeah.
I talked before on the podcast about how they were trying to reach a new audience, how they need to like change their...
Their approach.
Not necessarily their sound, but their approach.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
No, because they're not.
No, they're reaching their hardcore fans, and then other people who are like, well, I think if I remember right, my theory was that or idea was that they were trying to also reach the people who were like, oh yeah, Pearl Jam, I liked them 20 years ago.
Yeah, the soccer.
I think they're still trying. They're reaching those people with a song like Sirens or Mind Your Manners. I mean, those are fucking red hot songs.
Can we talk about Sirens for a minute?
We can talk about Sirens more than a minute.
Let's talk about this. So weird hearing that after the what we opened with, Leash from 4,000 years ago.
But they're both opposites, and then they're on different extremes, but they're both really good at the extremes that they're at.
Like, absolutely.
I mean, Sirens is a super power ballad.
Yeah.
It's beautifully written and composed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the best band song they've written in years. And by band, I mean you could hear all the different parts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the video, there's a quick snippet, like where you can see Mike, Jeff, and Stone singing backup together.
Yeah, it's toward the end.
I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't think they have ever done that.
I mean, and they're not harmonizing anything. I mean, they're just singing.
And they also do on Mind Your Manners.
Oh. Interesting.
I don't know if they show it, but you can hear that it's at the end when they're doing the, go to hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all singing together there, too.
Almost call and response a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, my only complaint with this song is I don't love the video.
Well, here's the thing. I think we're going to get a lot of that. A lot of the same kind of video, because we got that video and then the Danny Clinch video that came out. There's footage of them performing Getaway, I believe is the name of the track. Mm-hmm. And then there's also footage of them performing Lightning Bolt.
Right.
So I don't know. And they're all just live performances that look very similar to that same rehearsal space or wherever they recorded Sirens. So my guess is that maybe those are the digital extras. Because at the very end of the Danny Clinch video, show like a kind of a fisheye lens with Ed and the band, and they're doing Getaway, and so it seems like that, like, why would you record that if you're not going to release an actual video?
Right. Yeah,
and same with Lightning Bolt, which sounds amazing recorded.
Mm-hmm.
At least the snippet that I've
so
heard.
so much better than the Wrigley.
Yeah,
track
oh, for
had.
Sure.
Like,
and
yeah.
speaking of Wrigley, like thinking of Sirens, they're going to have to play that live.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder how that's going to come off live. I mean, Daughter comes off fine live. Black comes off fine live.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wonder because it's such a clean, like, I don't want to call it the perfect Pearl Jam song because that makes it like I haven't heard the whole record and I have a really strong. I like Sirens more than I like Mind Your Manners.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, isn't it? But the more I thought about it, I'm just like, you know, it's just very much a beautiful, poetic song.
Yeah.
And I have a really small, I think I actually helped create Sirens. I'm serious.
Do you like it? Well, I helped write the entire Yield album.
No, I actually had a part in Sirens. Now let me tell you.
Okay.
So in the Carrie Brownstein video.
Let's see where
video,
this rabbit hole goes.
So in the Carrie Brownstein video, they're talking about Sirens, and they're asking about inspiration. And Mike mentions that, you know, he wrote Sirens after he went to go see Roger Waters at Key Arena, which was in May of 2010, I believe. Maybe 2011. Anyway, I was at that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into Mike at that show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that after, because he made it sound like he wrote the song after seeing the show. I really do think that it was me approaching Mike as he was walking by and like, hey, I patted on the back. Hey, Mike.
I got a song idea for you. You got to hear me out.
I shook his hand and I said, hey, I really enjoyed the show last night. Or maybe it was the night before. But anyway, they did the Flight to Mars show.
Mm-hmm.
So I thanked him for the show. Good work. Thanks for putting on a good show. You know, congratulations on raising money for CCFA. It's great that you do that every year. And he goes, oh, thanks. And that was it. That was our brief interaction. But I think when I hear Sirens, it just makes me think. I almost think of like ships passing in the night a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mike kind of, it was a real quick, very, very quick. It went down like maybe 30 seconds of just me talking with Mike and Mike saying thank you, shaking my hand, and kept walking.
Mm-hmm.
I just think of that. And I think maybe he had the idea of, you know, me and that one fan who was at that Roger Waters show that I just attended, I just kind of passed him. And it was this very like, I'm going to write a song inspired by that feeling.
You keep that with you. You carry that with you close.
I will. Next time I see Mike, I'm going to tell him, hey, am I going to get a writing credit for Sirens?
Yeah, totally. Remember, because we passed.
Yeah, you totally.
I shook your hand.
Yeah.
And there was a connection there that just screamed, go write a hit song.
You know you felt it.
All right, well, we have just a couple minutes left. If you haven't seen the Sirens video, we'll probably have a link on
it's on Gorilla Candy. It's there.
You'll find it. And so we should talk because you've been to a number of Mike McCready performances here in the Seattle
area.
I've
seen Mike McCready perform, yes. Last time we talked, I was going to go to the Shadow event, and I did attend the Shadow event, and I was as close as actually closer to Mike than I was to you. I was almost in the front row. And he went eruption fingers on us.
Right. And you have pictures of
you.
I have pictures. You're like in his face. You might as well have been on his lap while he was playing that.
Yeah, thing. It was hilarious. It's like he played Eruption and then he played another Shadow song. And Eruption wasn't on the set list. Like he just, the band walked off because I asked Mike afterwards and I was like, hey man, Eruption sounded great. Because I was watching his fingers because it's just, you got to watch. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not a guitar player, but for like a music geek like me to watch, you know, Mike McCready just go off on an Eddie Van Halen riff is like, whoa, cool.
Right.
And so I tweeted it, and I think, I texted you a photo.
You did.
I texted you the photo. I was like, hey, not to be a jerk, but right. I think I said something like, I'm having so much fun. Sorry you're not here. And then I was like, oh, man.
Sucks to be you, loser.
I was like, oh, man, I'm such a jerk. Sorry for telling you how much fun I'm having, and even though you're not here. And then I was like, oh, and Mike McCready just played Eruption in my face. And I posted on Facebook, like,
hope you're having fun watching New Girl, nerd.
Yeah.
Look what I'm doing.
I texted my wife and I was like, hey, Mike just played Eruption 2 feet from my face. and then I put it on Facebook with the photo and I was like, it was so awesome.
Yeah, here it is.
And then my wife goes, you know, that was kind of homoerotic. I was like, oh, thanks, honey.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, Shadow was awesome. Lots of fun. And then as predicted correctly on Evil Little Goats episode 8, go back and play the tape back if you guys want to listen. Mike did perform at Bumper Shoot with Heart.
Mm-hmm.
He played Crazy on You with Heart and it was killer. What was great was like he was jumping up and down and like spinning and stuff, and like all the other members of Heart were just kind of, you know, Heart.
Right.
And so he was so animated and so fun to watch. And so it was cool to see him like on that big stage as if he wouldn't show up. But that's the song he played with Mike and Jerry and Chris Cornell during Heart's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, okay, yeah.
During which Mike had to like teach himself the song because he didn't know the song. And I was like, well, it doesn't sound like it's that tough. It's just dun 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 dun.
Right.
That's the riff, right?
Right.
Like it can't be that.
You can figure that out.
He can't be that hard. You're Mike McCready.
Right.
He made it sound like he was like in a rehearsal room like forever trying to figure it out.
Agonizing.
Yeah. So that's what's up with Mike. He's also, I guess, he also played with Dave Matthews in California. He showed up, and then
he's everywhere. He's literally
during Cheap's Trick. Cheap's Trick,
right.
At the Puyallup Fair at the Washington State, or sorry, it's the
Washington State Fair.
It's no longer the Puyallup Fair. Because apparently Puyallup's not in Washington State anymore.
You can do it at a Wallop, you can do it at a Gallop, you can do the Washington State Fair.
Yes. but he showed up during Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
And did Surrender with Cheap Trick. And he also did, I think he did another song with them, but I know he did Surrender because Marco Collins had video of it.
Yeah,
He was right there. He texted me the photo. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. It was just like I was almost falling asleep, and my phone blows up, and I'm like, it's like, what's that? My wife goes, what's that? And I was like, oh, nothing. It's just Marco. It's just kind of funny.
See, I geek out when he comments on something I post on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm so like, do I.
Oh my God, Marco Collins, what? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so do I.
But then I forget that I have kind of met him a few times. So
yeah,
it's funny. We are about out of time. Any other? That's all the Mike McCready spottings, right?
I think so. Yeah. That's okay. About it. Right. He has finished, I believe, the score for Marco Collins' film.
Yes.
I think.
There's a big concert for the film.
Yes.
We should probably mention that because Marco's good people. And we
he
help
is.
Him
it's October 11th at EMP Museum in Seattle. Tickets are $35. There are, I think, 7 or 8 bands playing. The Young Evils will be there.
They are so amazing.
Sean Nelson from Harvey Danger.
He is so amazing.
Fences.
I don't. I'm not as familiar with them.
Yeah, Fences. A few other. Jen Ghetto from Carissa's Weird. Nacho Picasso. Anyway, there are a bunch of artists that are going to be there.
But you could go just for the Young Evils and get every penny's worth.
And they're going to world premiere footage of the film.
Yeah.
Which Marco hasn't seen the film.
What?
Mike has seen the film because he scored it.
Right.
Marco hasn't seen the movie, so he's going to be seeing these clips for the first time.
That's crazy to
me. You can also pay $100 for a VIP ticket, which gets you three drinks. The $35 ticket gets you one drink.
You're going to pay that anyways. Yeah. If you're going to go to EMP, you might as well. Yeah. You might as well.
So the $100 gets you VIP access, which means you get to go to the VIP bar, and there's a meet and greet with the bands and with Marco and the film crew, and then you get three drink tickets.
Dude, I might have
totally
to,
worth it.
I might have to lay down the $100.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
Wow. Okay.
There's a chance. There's a small chance. No, October 11th, Mike's going to be on tour. Never mind. Yeah. I was going to say there might be a small chance that he would show. No, they're not. They're on
just,
tour.
Yeah. I think pay the $100.
Just pay the $100.
It's totally worth it.
Yeah.
There's probably only eight of those tickets, right? So you'll be in good company.
With like eight bands, that's like another 25 people in the film crew.
You're good. You're good. Mm. You wanted to play one more from the vault collection that you brought
in. Let's do... not Education, but the other
one. The Evolution. I'm so glad you said that. I love this song. Reminds me of the for some reason, the animation, maybe just because it's animation, reminds me of the Mind Your Manners animated video. I don't know.
I just like the...
Yeah, the scream.
The Eddie Howe.
Should we do that again?
Let's do that again. Let's hear it.
It's more of a roar.
Yeah, he's just getting his Eddie Vedder on.
Totally. We're all going to be getting our Eddie Vedder on here in 14 days when Lightning Bolt comes out.
That's right.
You pre-ordered, right?
I have pre-ordered, yes.
You pre-ordered like six copies.
I have a single. And it's hilarious. When I requested my advance copy, they're sending digitals and physicals.
Oh,
And they were like, we got the physicals coming like 10 days beforehand. And I was like, I don't need a physical. I've pre-ordered the vinyl.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Nice. So hopefully we'll get that advance soon.
And we'll have all that for you here. Go ahead and pre-order episode 10.
Yeah, it's on the way soon.
Of the Evil Little Goats podcast. It'll be there, right there, as soon as it's available at the places where you can find it.
And it's
which
free.
Primarily is GorillaCandy.com.
Yes.
That's Travis. He's the brains and the manpower behind Gorilla Candy. I'm Jeremy. You can check out my other podcast if you're really bored. Go over to thesiblingrivalry.com. That's where you can find more of me. We will be back next week.
Yes, next week.
I'm going to be brave. I'm going to throw it out there. Say we'll be back next week. Sorry for the long hiatus for the eight or nine of you that have been listening every week. It's been a while, but we'll try and be better about that. But you know, life. All right. We'll see you next week, everybody. GorillaCandy.com. Bye bye.